turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves. We talking Scott Catoon. I'm saying, wait a minute.
Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. You're listening to Technori Live from WGN Radio in beautiful Chicago. This is apparently my last broadcast for a few weeks, so we'll hopefully have a good enough show that you guys will remember me when I come back from celebrating Northwestern losses with several beers. But at any rate, we've got an awesome show ahead of us. As I mentioned before, we've got Julie Novak on the back half in studio to talk about, obviously, Party Slate, but we also had a really cool conversation around something that Amy has been talking about for a while with the Kavanaugh and the Me Too and everything else, is just sort of like women's role in business and how men unintentionally, also obviously intentionally, but unintentionally kind of impede that. I don't know if Julie knows we're going to talk about this, so that ought to be interesting, but she's a sport usually, so I'm sure that will be entertaining. The other topic, the main topic to start the show here, though, is the chief product officer of Adobe. Many of you use Adobe products. If you don't know what an Adobe product is, I'm just going to assume you don't even have a computer. That's sort of where we are with the ubiquitousness of Adobe. Scott Belsky is going to call in here. He's probably on the horn right now, I would assume. And we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. Most importantly for this call, his book, which comes out in on October 2nd, called The Messy Middle. And I'm interested to read it. He sent it to me. It looks amazing. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, so I'm going to be the fool as he tells me about the book. But there's just so many things I want to ask him in so little time. So we're going to jump right into it. Scott, are you listening?
Yes, I'm on. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Of course. Great. And first off, thank you for the book, by the way. I 100% intend on getting into the book. I'm excited about it. I love the topic that you're distilling. But before we jump into questions and things, why don't you just tell people right off the bat what The Messy Middle is all about?
Yeah, The Messy Middle is the part that matters that no one likes to talk about nor remember of any big, bold, creative project or venture, writing a book, you know, starting a company. Everyone likes to talk about the romanticism of the start when the idea first strikes, and everyone loves to talk about or write about the headlines of, you know, acquisitions, IPOs, bankruptcies, openings, launches.
The vanity numbers, right, Scott? The vanity. All the vanity numbers is what we focus on.
Exactly. But the middle is actually kind of fascinating. You know, it's super volatile, lots of extreme highs followed by lows. And there's something to be mined from this volatility. And so that was my obsession for the last 5 or so years, talking to other founders and leaders and writers and artists to try to understand some of those gems that we can all learn from in the middle.
Fascinating stuff. I'm going to have you on. You're good till what, like 1:30 or so?
Sure.
All right, great. Because we're going to have to take a break as we got kind of late into this. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to do it right now and come back and talk to you about how you've gotten to this position. You are a very, very accomplished founder in your own right. And quite honestly, if I looked at your resume and I skipped over the big Adobe part, it would still be one of the most impressive resumes in general, whether it's as an investor or as a product builder.
Oh, man. So, trying to cut the break, indeed.
Yeah. That's what I love about guys like you, is you hate talking about yourselves, which makes my you know, job impossible, but I appreciate it nonetheless. So we will take a quick break here, and then the Scots will be back here on WGN after this break. You're listening to Scott Catoon and WGN Technori live at WGN Radio. You can follow me at Catoon on everything social. You can follow Technori and comment and all that good stuff on everything social at Technori. Joining me, Scott Belsky. Scott, are you still with us?
I am with you.
Excellent. Sorry about our long commercial break, but I wanted to hold this whole back half here to chat with you. We were talking about the book, The Messy Middle, which comes out on, I believe, October 2nd. Is that correct?
That is.
Excellent. So you've got a pretty amazing history that you probably don't want to talk about, but it's amazing. And I think it's, I guess, for those of you who want to know more about how it shaped you and how you have shaped sort of your career, go buy the book. Like, that's the fastest way. We don't have time to read the whole book on the show, so I'm just going to jump into a couple parts that are fascinating. You, the investor, and you, the founder. On the Technori podcast and on our events and stuff, we have people like you come and speak, which I'd love to someday have you come and speak to the founders and share the story. But the main thing is, when you start a company, you sort of learn what you don't know as you go along, and that messy middle, as you mentioned, is sort of like really the execution part. It's the part that makes it actually go. What did you learn, one, as a founder? And am I pronouncing this right? Was it Behance, right?
Yeah.
So, as a founder, what you learned, and then after that, I want to dive in a little bit as having learned that, and now working at a big company prior or post acquisition, what you look for in founders that have made you the investor that you are now.
Yeah, great questions. For those of you that don't know, Behance is a network almost like a LinkedIn for the creative world. It's 15 million creatives around the world showcasing their work. But when it was just an idea back in 2006, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I brought together a small team of misfits, all of whom had no experience doing what we wanted to do either. And then we bootstrapped, meaning we didn't raise venture capital for 5 years before actually going out and raising real capital from real investors. And that period obviously nearly killed us, but didn't. And so we became stronger as a result. But I think, you know, in that period, I learned a lot. I learned, first of all, that having this bold idea of what we want to do in the world years from now is enough to quit your job and start something, but it's not enough to keep a team together and engaged day by day. In some ways, you have to, I call it short-circuiting your reward system. So there's like other stuff you're working towards that are near term when you don't have any financial, you know, returns coming in, no accolades, no customers yet. It's the short-term little things you create that keep you excited and engaged. I mean, one funny story was that we would always type in the word Behance into Google, and it would say, do you mean Enhance? Do you mean Enhance? And it was like, damn, like, can we just not be a mistake, you know?
Yep.
And so we did all the work we could to get more people on the network, more link backs for their blogs, like all that stuff. And then lo and behold, one day, one of our engineers comes in and types in Behance, and it says Behance instead of Enhance, which is really exciting. And I kid you not, like 6 months later, Beyonce became super popular, were like back where we started. But it's just one of those little examples of many of ways that we kind of short-circuited the reward system. And, you know, there are tons. There's literally like 50 different insights in the book around keeping your team together and enduring these difficult periods, even as a lone operator, of volatility, you know, before something actually starts to work.
That's so funny that you say that. That was the same. That was one of, so I always call them beachheads. Like I try to recalibrate my little scope when I'm traveling and try to figure out, like, this is my new beachhead. It's so funny that you said that, because that was one of my beachheads. Was one originally was Katoon. My last name doesn't make any sense, and it's impossible to find. And so, like, my first goal was to get it to where it didn't say kitten like a cat. And so I got to that point somewhere around 2014, and then Technori. You can see how this is a misspelling of everything, from technology to tech to whatever. And we worked so damn hard to get to a point where when you go into Google, you could type in Technori and it just comes up. And it's funny you said that, because that was one of my initial beachheads, was to try to get my name and my company searchable. So I appreciate and love that. You mentioned one other thing
in this.
Oh, for sure. So you mentioned one other thing in this that's, I think, is a good quick spin over to the investor side, which is, you have a ragtag team of people who are just passionate about a mission. They've got an understanding of what they're trying to accomplish, but they don't have the know-how and the experience, but they're willing to go through the fight. What did you learn from that that made you be able to identify things like Pinterest and Uber and Sweetgreen and Cheddar, which is one of my favorites, to invest in it and put money in it?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, in this volatility, there are a lot of things I learned. You know, first of all, the importance of not being motivated by a passion for a solution, but rather the empathy with the customer suffering the problem. It's really important to make sure that a team is not just like, oh my gosh, this is what we have to build for the world, and goes off and does it without really being shoulder to shoulder suffering with the customers they're trying to serve. Another thing I really took away is how much more important resourcefulness is than resources.
Oh my God.
There's so many great stories, right, of companies raising a fortune, but then squandering all of it when, like, little companies or individuals with no money just do remarkable things. And so I like to say that resourcefulness, resources is like carbs. You can just blow through it. Resourcefulness is like muscle. You know, it just like stays with you and serves you through the ins and the outs of a journey. And so those are just two of many things around, you know, how to hire and build and refine a team and structure, build the culture. Like, a lot of these things that I learned myself are things I now apply through the lens of an investor.
You know, I literally, and this is a fact, I desperation is what I look for in our founders when we pick all these companies, which to date, I don't know what you know of Technori's history, but to date, you know, we've had about 500 companies pitch on stage. They've raised, you know, through our exposure in ways up to almost $1 billion in venture capital. And when we pick, it's awesome, but it's the founders. Like, we get a ton of people who want to come on, and I'm always trying to figure out, like, people ask, like, what do you look for in an application? I'm like, honestly, there's nothing that I can tangibly point at, but I can tell you when I meet someone or I hear a story, the passion behind it and the resourcefulness, the desperation. I literally feel like I do better when I'm desperate. Like, when the money thing has nothing to do with it. I don't even pay any attention to it. It's literally what can I do today that I with like I'm impressed when I'm able to accomplish something with nothing, and that's the one thing that's common.
100%. And just to play out that super quickly, you know, there's one entrepreneur I interviewed in the book, a guy named Tristan Walker of Walker Brands, and he talks about how you know, he grew up in the projects and had like a tough upbringing, and he feels like, you know, this trait of overcoming adversity in your upbringing is actually one of those great things that prepares you as an entrepreneur. And I was like probing that. I was like, okay, that sounds good, but why? And he had a great answer. He was like, you know, if you can overcome adversity and have the courage to kind of consistently practice the same principles despite what you're going through, then those are the people that have the courage to keep kind of doing the same thing and practicing the same principles in a company regardless of the volatility you'll face. And how like that courage over time translates into a great culture and a company that like really stands for something. And that really struck me too, to your point, like finding people that can stomach the churn is really important.
I completely agree. I wish I could talk to you more. In fact, if we can set up, whether you're in Chicago or just call in again, I'd love to do a podcast where we can like uncommercial and talk for 45 minutes about like what this all
there's
is. I just think it's so valuable.
A lot in the messy middle.
Oh, well, it's true. And like for us, I mean, the investor side of what we do now, I try to tell people, like, if you're obsessed with the big capital raise, like, we're not probably for you, but if you want to learn the operational and the practice and the passion, I got you all day. So I can't wait to dig into this book, and I hope everybody else does. October 2nd, it drops, Messy Middle. Scott Belsky, where do people go to learn more about the book, more about you, and what you guys do?
Oh, thanks for asking. I mean, The Messy Middle on Amazon is the best place to get it, or your local bookstore on October 2nd. You can pre-order now. And then I'm just at Scott Belsky on Twitter. I'm easy to find.
Excellent. Very cool. Thank you so much for taking the time today. Have a great weekend. And I cannot wait to dig into the book.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Of course. Excellent. Yep. Take care. So we're going to jump right into the news. I hear there's something coming from Washington. I don't know. That's just what a birdie told me. So we're going to jump to the news with Bob Kelso, which is sponsored by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace.
Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves.
Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. You're listening to Technori Live from WGN Radio here in beautiful Chicago on a Saturday, my last Saturday for a few weeks, so I can go celebrate some Northwestern, I guess not really wins because they're having a crappy season, but at least fun games and some beverages nonetheless. Joining me for the back half of the show, Julie Novak, founder of Party Slate. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And I want to mention to the people listening that there's another person also in the studio.
I have my daughter, Jordan, here. She's 10 years old and a want-to-be entrepreneur. I'm excited to have her here to see the beautiful new studio and to see how this all works.
Jordan, do you want to say hi real quick? She shook her head no for you out there. You guys have not earned the trust yet. So maybe at the end of the show. At any rate, Julie, so I want to jump right into what Party Slate is.
Yes.
This is a live show, so we have a lot of commercials, so we have to like be very diligent with our time.
Okay. Just 30-40 minute answer.
Yeah, just a quick 4-hour synopsis. What is Party Slate for the layman?
Sure. Party Slate is a place, if you're planning a wedding, a fundraiser, a corporate event, you can come find new ideas similar to Pinterest, but the biggest difference is it's curated and only photos posted by leading event professionals and venues from across the country. So if you ever been on Pinterest and you find something, oh, I love that, you click through and there's a dead end, that doesn't happen on Party Slate. Every photo is linked back to an event professional profile. You can find the photographer, the caterer, et cetera. So you can find new ideas, find amazing, beautiful venues and see hundreds and hundreds of photos from that venue, and then find your event professional team.
So I can tell you, as a person who just went through a wedding.
Yes. Congrats.
Thank you, by the way. And so, like, this was good and bad for me because I have a little bit of a limited budget as an entrepreneur myself. There was zero capital. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
No money. And so my wife, Jen, who is listening now, so she texts anyway, I didn't know what a wedding was like supposed to look like. And she obviously had an idea what she wanted to look like, but I think there was like different things that we picked up along the way. And like, where do you start?
Yeah, we really want Party Slate to be the place you start planning your event. And our person after person we've talked to said it's overwhelming planning these large scale events.
Oh my God, yes.
It's the most exciting time, whether it's a corporate brand launch or a wedding or bat mitzvah or a gala, but it's also very stressful. And so what we're doing is providing content, guidance, new ideas, and more importantly, the people that can help you execute on those ideas just to make it easier. That's really our mission, is to make this process of planning what we call an inspired event.
Yep.
easier.
Well, this is like the event world now. Everybody's in the event. So creating experiences, whether you call them an event or just creating experiences for your brand is sort of the whole mission here. I thought it was interesting because there's kind of two sides to this. There's the, you know, I've got the funding and I know what I'm looking for as far as like execution. So I'm going to go to the site. I'm going to find a really cool event that I would like to replicate or duplicate. And I can click right to the person who did that one and therefore they can do my event.
Yes.
And then there's also the side, like I think for us, which is, I don't want to compare you, and I know you don't like these kind of things, like a comparison to like a house or something like that, where I'm not buying the stuff from them necessarily, but I'm building the mental picture of what I visually want to create.
We really are a site that helps you concept. We don't ever encourage that you see a photo and you say, I want to do that exact event.
Yep.
We want every event to be special, memorable, and unique. And of course, there's some themes and some you can carry over. But what we're hoping is we become this giant inspiration engine, and it's the place you go to get inspired. And then when you are ready, you might not be ready right away to find that caterer, to find that special venue. You'll think of Party Slate, or you might be ready right now.
Yep.
And you know how we make money. My venture capitalists often ask me that.
They do like to know that.
How do we make money? It's pretty simple. We're attracting people that are planning these larger scale events that have big budgets. You know, so let's say the, you know, Twitter holiday party for 500 people. It's a big
anything
wedding
but
at the
Four Snapchat
Seasons
party, because that got a little bit out of touch.
We won't go there. Yeah,
we won't go there.
But basically, you know, we are attracting these people that we call them party hosts of all kinds, not just weddings. And these event professionals and venues want their kind of unfair share of that audience. And there are kind of additional brand exposure and to be honest, leads. They pay for an elevated presence on the site. So it's an annual subscription, you know, anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 a year. It's less than the cost of a single ad in a luxury magazine or a People magazine.
500 times the impact.
And it's a whole year.
Yeah.
And we can measure every click, every impression, every photo that was saved, every lead that comes through. So it's accountable. And that's really hard to do with print. And so what we're trying to do is, after me being in the digital marketing space for 20 years, I used to lead Razorfish, agency.com. We're trying to help these small businesses, a lot of them women-run businesses, diverse industry, to be better digital marketers.
Yep.
And we're just making it super easy. They have hundreds of, sometimes thousands of photos. Within 15 minutes, they can upload these photos and create a free profile. And if we want more exposure, they can become a premium member.
Very cool. I love it. And I can tell you, I can safely report back that our wedding was a hodgepodge of about like 7 or 8 things that we saw on the site. So I can tell you, I can vouch that it's a cool, inspiring way to do things that you don't know how to do, which is cool.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to kind of come back to this conversation on the other side of this, which is like the building a business side and learn what it's like building Party Slate. So
thank you.
This is Julie Novak. I'm Scott Gattune. Jordan Novak is sitting somewhere around here quietly, and we'll be back right after this break. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Gattune. You're sitting here with Julie Novak and her daughter, Jordan, talking about Party Slate. So you are what an investor calls like the perfect storm for an idea of a company, because you've actually been the CEO of a real company before, and you founded stuff before, and you've been in this kind of position. Usually, you know, the most successful investors get to a point where, like, short of a brilliant idea that they're willing to take a gamble on, they're looking for repeat founders.
Yes. But I actually didn't found another company. I led a different company, but I wasn't the founder. I was an early employee of Razorfish, an early employee of agency.com.
Yep.
But this is my first startup.
This is your first startup, but I think leading a company from the very early stages, and then also
you
leading
learn a
it
lot
later. It's like, that's all the pain points that like most investors are trying to weed out as quickly as possible, because that's where it all capsizes.
I've grown a team of 300 people at Razorfish. I've been through recessions. I've been through every kind of challenge you can imagine. And so I bring a lot of that to the table. And my co-founder, John Haro, and I worked together on and off for 15 years. And he brings a similar level of experience in the tech and product side.
So I want to ask you about that. So like, here's a good kind of pivot off of this is the number of people needed to run a Razor, right? Like that is going to be, you just said 300 people plus. Like, do you feel that like human capital intensive that Party Slate would be as much as that? Or I mean, obviously you want to keep growing and scaling, but do you see it being something that you need that many people, or
We're looking at our analog company, which is House. So House, I should get a commission from them because I'm a brand advocate. You know, I built a house out in the suburbs, you know, 6 years ago. I used House, H-O-U-Z-Z, the home decor site, on and off for 2 years. And they have raised over, I'm not saying we're going to do that, but over $300-400 million and have a team of 1,500 people.
Yep.
They are the leading global platform for home decor inspiration. And then they added on e-commerce. So you can buy that couch and buy that lamp.
Yep.
We don't envision that business model for Party Slate. We do envision second and third revenue streams that could potentially come from brands. So champagne companies, car companies that do a lot of events that could actually want that exposure with our target audience on Party Slate, but we're really staying focused right now on our single revenue stream, which is getting the premium subscriptions from our event professionals and venues.
This is why I have a podcast, because I would go into like a 45-minute conversation with you on this. This is so interesting to me because you go back, you mentioned house and the timeline.
Yes.
I don't think that there are a lot of companies out there, anything can happen, yep. But like I don't think that there's a lot of companies out there now that could do what House did and be in the e-commerce space.
Yes.
I feel like at this point, we've gotten to a position where the audience and the consumers are savvy enough, even if it's unintentional, mm-hmm. that if you try to monetize, and I say this from a radio station with a million ads, so like take mm-hmm. that for what it's worth, mm-hmm. To try to monetize directly from the content is just, it's so damaging to like the growth trajectory. It's mm-hmm. so hard to know, like, when do I have enough of a base to like ask for money?
Yes.
And so the brilliant part of this is, for those that are operators that understand the nuance and know how to do this, is to find revenue streams that are supported by content, but that are not the content.
Yes.
And that's the thing that you have done so far and continue to do and seems to be part of the roadmap that I just absolutely love about this.
Thank you. That is exactly our strategy. We want to be the largest, you know, content marketing engine for the events industry in the world. And that's on the event professional side. And that's how we will monetize and how we are monetizing today. But the bigger mission is someone like you, your wife, planning a big event. I'm planning a gala for cancer research. Just help these people make it a little easier and make it more enjoyable and have everything in one place. You can
yeah.
have the ideas. You can have the professional team. And down the road, our vision is to help you collaborate with your professional team and your, you know, your co-hosts or whoever you're planning the party with.
Yep.
We just want there to be one place you can go that's very simple and beautiful and inspired that makes your job a little easier.
Well, I can tell you the disjointedness of the wedding search experience was brutal.
Yeah. And corporate, there's nowhere to go. So weddings, there's the Knot, there's Wedding Wire. Those are more kind of all things wedding. So it's
yeah.
hairstyles and it's dresses and it's jewelry. We want to be kind of the Vogue of event design.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful events, helping you with ideas, helping you get the right professionals. We don't envision going to do wedding websites and wedding registry. That's not
yeah.
our strategy. And when you're planning a big corporate party and when you're planning a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah or a gala, there's a place you can go to find new ideas. Right now, there's only really Pinterest, and it's so frustrating. Again, I use Pinterest when I do a do-it-yourself party.
I didn't even know Pinterest was still a thing.
And, you know, Pinterest is huge, so
yeah,
don't get me wrong. When I did, for Jordan and Ella, we did a rainbow sleepover party for 12 girls. I used Pinterest. You know, I went to Party City. I got the rainbow things and whatever. I got ideas from it. That's not what Party Slate's about. And we appreciate that Pinterest and Etsy and there's all these kind of crafty places for do-it-yourself. We're about the larger scale event where professionals are involved. And, you know, we're supporting these amazing businesses. And we want to make sure their work is being seen by the right people.
I want to take this like actually a step further, because what I see when I talk to people like you, I try to put on like a couple hats.
Yeah.
So I've got the hat of like, oh, would this be cool content interesting to my audience? Yes. Mm-hmm. Would this be something that I think would be a startup that I could feature and that they would be helped by the exposure?
Yeah.
Yes. And then there's sort of the investor hat where I'm like, what is she doing?
Yes.
And when I looked at Party Slate, this is like the first time when you were on TechDory, but even before that, when I had heard about Party Slate, coming from the media world, the very first thing, this is the truth, the very first thing that I thought of was, this is what magazine was supposed to do when print was dying and it was to go digital.
I agree.
This was what the magazine, this like newspaper died and is dead for those of you out there because they didn't do this. This is what modern magazine.
You're the first person that has said it in that way. And I 100% agree. And I will tell you, and I'm not going to name any names, but there's a lot of
wedding
magazines yeah. and others that are watching what we're doing very closely.
Sure.
They're figuring out, you know, could we do something like this? Oh, I don't know if we could get the digital talent. Could I attract that? You know, we're a print company. Can I build this? And so, you know, we think, you know, one day would one of those big conglomerates buy Party Slate?
No.
And
so
that's not my goal. I'll tell you that
yeah.
right now. Is my goal is to build, similar to House, a scalable, profitable business that helps people plan these parties and help helps event professionals become better digital marketers. But I do agree with you. You know, the time has shifted, and you even see on TV now, there's the ads are shifting to kind of like content ads.
Yeah.
If you watch the reality shows. Not that I watch all those reality shows, but you have the talent actually doing the ads.
Yep.
Because people are skipping ads.
So I totally agree. And let me tell you something you probably already know. Those out there trying to copy you, unless they are new and well-funded, are going to have a very difficult time. Because, at least, and just the front end of this, because like all other media companies, whether you came from print or your radio or your TV, the way that they make their money and they're like the days away from insolvency if they turned off their main revenue streams is like 90 or less.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to be able to go, let's stop making money by running an ad every 5 minutes, or let's stop making money by selling some sort of print thing or through an event or whatever, they would literally go bankrupt unless they were well-funded to be able to convert everything over to making money off content, not on it.
And so you see Meredith Publishing buying All Recipes.
Yep.
You see Condé Nast making digital purchases. You see the ad agencies making digital acquisitions. I think it is incredibly hard.
You see Hearst Media buying PartySlate.com.
Do you know anyone there? No.
I do, actually, but we'll wait on that one.
Really, the next 3 or 4 years, in all seriousness, is about building this platform. Really, we have event professionals in every state and 15 countries, but not a concentration.
Yep.
We do city launches because we don't want you to come to our Chicago section and there's 5 venues. So we have 1,500 event professionals on the Chicago, you know, directory. We want people in all major U.S. cities to be able to have a good experience and find relevant local content. So after we hit the U.S., you know, we always joke about Party Slate Paris, but we're excited for Europe. We have contacts all over the world that we've met at these event professional conferences, and they know how to party, those event professionals.
I bet.
They love Party Slate. They want to help us launch in their communities, and we're trying to be as tempered as we can so that we don't overexpand and provide a bad experience for, you know, people here in the U.S. So
no, I totally agree. So I guess the last questions we get before we do our little crosstalk here with Dane is, before, and also I have to ask Jordan a question before we go to the next one, but I'd love to know, like, what is the most important thing for you guys to get to the next step?
Well, I think, you know, really having focus and staying true to the vision. And I will tell you, it's challenging when you're fundraising and you're on the road and you're not in the office and, you know, keeping things focused. So staying focused on this vision for simplifying the process. And then I will also say, you know, we got to raise funds, you know, so we just closed our third round of funding, which is exciting. And we need that to fuel our growth until we're a profitable company.
Very cool. And of course, we can't end the show without talking to Jordan, who's sitting here. Jordan, would you like to care to tell us what your plans are, or will you be the next entrepreneur in the Novak clan?
I don't know. But when I grow up, I want to be an interior designer.
You want to be an interior designer. That's
amazing. She loves design, and she designs logos, and she does Google Slides on her sense of style and what she likes. And so I really see an entrepreneur in the making, and I'm really proud to be a role model for her.
Okay, so I guess the last place we should ask you is, where do we go for to learn more about Party Slate?
Yeah, you can go to partyslate.com, party and then slate. So come with a blank slate and fill up your slate with ideas and also professionals. And let's party.
Let's party.
And then I have to give a little plug for our Instagram feed, which is over the top amazing. We just hit 30,000 followers. So please follow us on Instagram for updates and exciting, beautiful events.
Very cool. I'm going to kick over things here and chat with Dane real quick on the crosstalk. And thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you for having
for
me. I'm
us,
a big fan of the show.
Thank you.
And
I
a
appreciate
fan of
that.
You.
I appreciate that even more than the show. You can follow, obviously, them at Everything Party Slate. And you can follow everything Technori at Technori and follow me at Katoon if you're so inclined. Joining us now, Dane Neal. He's going to be kicking things off for his round of shows. What's going on, Dane?
See how you did that? You know, it's kind of sports, you know, football kicking off. You're just using, right?
I use every pun I have. I literally throw everything I have at the wall every time.
Well, I'm also, you know, a member of the Scott Katoon fan club right here. And I'm also a fan of these new headphones. People can't
Are they
see.
Not baller?
How come you're not wearing them?
Because no one, this is clipped to the wall. I can't even pull it. I can't unplug it.
Yeah, right.
This is like a grocery store. You can't leave
it. Right. Guests don't get to take these home as a souvenir. But we're going to have a really fun show, an eclectic kind of blend of shows. We're going to have some racing. Daryl Waltrip is going to be on with us, coming on, talking about Richmond. You know Daryl Waltrip, DW, of course.
Of course.
NASCAR Hall of Famer. Then we're going to take our road trip to Milwaukee. Have you been to Milwaukee?
I went to Marquette. I've been to Milwaukee. I've been to all the places in Milwaukee you don't want to go.
I should have just had you on. So oftentimes we'll go on the family road trip and we'll kind of extol some of the exciting things to do, the accoutrements from a community standpoint of these places. And I spent a good portion of my formative years in Wisconsin. And when it comes to Milwaukee, there's certain things you think of, but I don't have everything. So we're going to do a road trip and we're going to have Kristen on from Visit Milwaukee. She'll be talking about it. And then China Lights is up there. Which is, I know, you're looking like you have it. You got a whole month to warm up to it because it's a big exhibition up at the Botanical Gardens. It's going to be some exciting stuff. We're going to talk Cochon. Grant Cochon is coming up. Also, Chicago Gourmet. I'll be emceeing that, judging Cochon, emceeing the other thing. And then I got a chance to be on Dieters, Drive-Ins, and Dives last night. I'm nice. Sure you were probably getting a chance to watch that.
So I was glued to it.
Yeah. Thank you for noticing. And we'll talk about all that stuff.
Very cool. Well, have a great show.
All right, so now let's see what we got here. Is the where's our news? Oh, and here we are, the odd hours. Here are the sounds of matter, the top 5 at 5 from the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis, weekday afternoons at 7:20. WGN Chicago smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by American Weathermakers. Here's Bob Kessler.